Time with Tab, a podcast run by our Goddard Public Library Teen Advisory Board. We're going to go around and introduce everyone and just see how everyone's feeling today.
I'm Ashley, and I feel pretty good.
I'm Kevlin, and I feel good.
I'm Maggie, and I'm okay.
I'm Justin, and I'm doing pretty good. Amy's here, too. She's okay.
Brianna's here, too, and she's doing okay.
I'm Jesse, and I'm doing great.
And Adam, I'm pretty darn tired.
Bailey. I'm Haley, and I'm all right.
I'm Mari, and I'm doing okay.
Awesome. And I'm Deborah. I'll be your host today, along with our new staff member, who I will let introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm doing all right.
So, let's get going. Our big topic today is banned books and censorship, because next week is National Banned Book Week. So, I guess the opening question I have for you guys are, what are some of your favorite books, and are any of them on the banned book list?
Two that I noticed on there that are pretty darn good are Anne Frank and the Bible. Yeah, apparently someone tried to, of course someone tried to ban the Bible.
One that I know is 13 Reasons Why. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I've read The Hunger Games, which is pretty good.
Oh yeah, that too.
We're reading Speak right now in English. Not a huge fan of Speak.
Okay.
And we've also read Of Mice and Men mm-hmm. in English. Also didn't really like that one.
Mm-hmm. Not my favorite. It was sad.
It's not my genre.
It's not as bad as Grapes of Wrath.
A couple years ago, for English, I had to read The Giver. Didn't really like it, but still had to read it.
Do you feel like it needed to be on the banned book list?
I mean, the only thing that I could think of about people trying to ban it is it talks kind of about how authoritarian societies, you know, don't work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've talked about some we've read. Are there any on the list that you've liked, you would like to read? Something you've seen that you're like, hey, I've been meaning to read that.
I know when I'm a senior, I know we're going to have to read 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that it's on here.
Mm-hmm.
I've also kind of want to read Ender's Game.
That's a good book.
Yeah. I want to read The Color Purple. I have heard nothing but good things.
Yeah.
I've always been interested in reading The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
That's the book club book for the library's book club this month. It's next week. Anybody else?
I might read The Catcher in the Rye eventually.
I enjoyed that mm-hmm. book.
Yeah, because
apparently it makes you a serial killer if you like the book. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
multiple people who've read it, it killed people.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I feel like lots of people like that book. second guess liking the book, but okay. So I feel like we've talked about a lot of books that we've had to read for school. So that's kind of interesting. I feel like you brought up a little bit, Adam, The Giver and an authoritarian society. So why do you think some of these things have been challenged or banned, and why do you think you're reading them, having to read them in school? Anybody have any opinions on that?
Some of the ones that I know I'm going to have to read eventually or have read, I find it completely stupid. Like, why do I have to read this? It's a book.
But do you think that it was bad and needed to, and should have been challenged or banned?
I mean,
regardless of your opinion on it or not.
The Giver, I don't see why that would even try to be banned. Because the only plausible reason I could think of is some random mom saw that it talked about, people being about violence in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's when the main character, I don't remember his name, it's been years, or he gets the memory of war, and maybe some random Karen, and saw that and was like, I don't want
to care.
And saw that.
Oh,
fine. Some random caring mother. Or saw
why
that.
Why couldn't it be a caring dad?
Yeah. Okay.
I love you, Deborah.
I'm just saying. Could have been.
Some caring parent. Finally. Are we good with that?
Yeah.
That saw that and didn't want their or poor child to have to read that.
About war.
Yes, yeah, and violence and, you know, real life.
Okay.
On the topic of the caring parents, there's a lot of these books that are actually just about, you know, the bad part of history, the bad part of American history. And in my opinion, I think those were banned because, you know, the type of people that are banning those types of books are the people that agree with the bad part of history.
Okay.
And I think they're ashamed that for, like, they would be embarrassed if their kid found out, hey, my parents believe something really horrible is good, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I saw Anne Frank on there, and I saw that, and I was like, yeah, that would probably ban, could, I know there's people that exist that want to ignore history, and they just want to plug it out and forget that it ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Period.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit talking Anne Frank, and I know before we started the podcast, Adam mentioned Nazi Germany. So obviously banning books, challenging books is not a recent thing, even though it's right now kind of a hot topic. Can you guys think of any examples in history or things where people have banned books and anything like that?
North Korea as a whole.
North Korea.
Okay.
The Holocaust.
Yeah, just North Korea, Holocaust.
Why are they banning books?
North Korea, they're banning books because they don't want their people to figure out that, oh, yeah, your great leader is, no, not a god, and unicorns don't exist.
Oh, man. I thought unicorns existed. You just ruined my whole life.
Then go to Scotland. Their national anthem is literally the unicorn.
That's true.
Just go to Scotland.
So North Korea is like a super current example. We briefly mentioned like Nazi Germany. Like what? Any other examples or like what they did historically that anyone wants to?
I mean, Nazi Germany. What they did is they found any book that they burnt books and banned them for anti-Semitic propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And they destroyed a lot of books and things that it would make people realize that what they're being told is not exactly true.
Okay.
Also, the USSR did it. There was mostly what I've noticed, like studying history,
mm-hmm.
most countries that it want to be independent from themselves and prove that they're good. Yeah, they ban anything that has to do with the West.
I'm just asking.
I haven't read any books that offended me, but I can understand why Mein Kampf would offend Jewish people. God, I hate the dictionary.
Okay. So yeah, no one's ever been like offended by a book is kind of what I'm getting, like personally offended by a book you've read.
Nah.
Yeah, or not where. No. Yeah, okay.
Not yet, so. Not one time.
It takes a lot to offend me anyway.
One time.
I only read
novels. One time Mari was. She doesn't remember when.
Yeah.
But, and Haley, apparently. But they don't remember, so it must not have been that offensive. Do you guys think there's a difference between banning a book and restricting access to a book? Like, by restricting access, I mean requiring parental permission, or, like, putting it behind closed doors, or anything like that? Any opinions, thoughts on that?
Some books, there's one that I was thinking of, I don't remember what it is,
mm-hmm.
but there's some books out there that you need
you
to
understand why parents would be like, oh,
yeah,
I don't want you to read that
yet.
Like,
I wouldn't, if I had children, I personally wouldn't want them reading. I do agree that some books need to be, get like parental permission. Wow, I cannot say those words.
So you're saying, like, at a certain age, like, a certain age limit, not maybe an age limit, but kind of, like, rating books, kind of like movies where there's, like, some guidance, for instance, like, kind of that theory where, hey, if this book is rated PG-13, like, we're going to want parental permission for you to read it before the age of 13, so, like that. Kind of like that.
Because they're, I've read multiple books that were about World War II, and one of them, it was about the Monuments Men, but part of it, they talked about when one of the concentration camps was liberated, and it did show a couple of pictures of what they found.
Maybe a little bit, like, disturbing for young children.
Yeah, there's
you'd
some...
You want to make sure to...
And I've read... I like these things, so I've read multiple books about, like, the Holocaust and stuff, and it... Multiple of them show pictures of the concentration camp, liberated ones, and what they found. And I would not show my younger cousins any of those.
Yeah. Okay.
They wouldn't be picking up the books anyway. They don't care. No, why they're in the kids section.
That's I'm not saying you're wrong.
I know that I have 14 nephews and nieces, and they have different levels of things they're able to take as far as
like comprehension
scary,
and
scary pictures, imagery, words, to other things like that, because each of my siblings has raised their kids in different ways, and just emotionally and mentally, they have adapted to things to a different extent. I know some of my nephews and nieces have watched some more graphic movies and stuff, and all of them are under the age of 10. And I know some of them could not watch that, or we would never hear the end of it.
So maybe not so much that things... need what you're saying is everybody's different, so not so much that it needs to be restricted or challenged at a wide level, but it needs to be more based on the individual family.
Yeah, I think, like, it should be lesser of an age restriction and more of a maturity restriction, debated on the parent's point of view of their child.
Yeah, I do kind of agree with that, because there are some books, like, overall, that you some people you don't need to. Young kids don't need to see them, but yeah, if you're like when I was like 10, my dad has a movie called We Were Soldiers. It's an R-rated movie about Vietnam, described by his uncle who served in Vietnam at the most realistic one that he'd ever found. And my dad let me watch it at age 10 to understand, okay, this is what at war is and why it's bad.
Yeah.
And that I've rewatched it multiple times. And then, multiple times without my parents. Because it's a good movie, and it does show what war is and why it's kind of bad. But yeah, it kind of it should be somewhat maturity. Because if like a 10-year-old is mature enough to understand that this is what happened, and they're mature enough to understand it, then yeah, they should be allowed to read it.
Yeah, I get that.
I agree with that too, because I have grown up and I've read lots of books and seen lots of movies, and even though it scared me in the end after a few nightmares, I appreciated watching it, knowing the information, and just in my personality, I learned and I just find out that I love the things that scare the crap out of me. And so I enjoy watching things like that. It wasn't but a year ago my dad introduced us to a war TV show that was a series of movies that was an actual account of people that were in World War II. And it showed what happened in some of the wars, and it was, they did a really good job at making it graphic, and they did not hold back on the blood and bone in that movie. And I enjoyed watching the movie for its historical fact, because it was a documentary. But it was also really, like, a shock, because our point of view up until that point was not that graphic as far as war went. And
I feel like there's also a big difference between movies and books, because when you read a book, what you see is based on your ability to see it in your mind and imagination. Whereas a movie, you can see it just there, and it's not dictated by how realistic your own imagination is.
True.
See it through someone else's imagination.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've also watched multiple, I've watched a lot of things about World War One, World War Two, and one of them was a documentary about just World War, it was, oh yeah, called World War Two in Color, and they found old, it's a pretty good one.
So many people, in case you didn't hear, just said they love that, so check it out.
And they found, they got old pictures and photos from World War Two, and they put them in color, and some of them are, not the most pretty ones, because it showed, like, what Japan did to people and what Germany did. And then, yeah, and I'm old enough, and I understand it, but it still, I'd understand if some parents and were like, yeah, I don't want a kid to see that until they're, like, 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't always trust the parents' decision, though. I respect my mother's decisions, but she thinks I shouldn't be allowed to watch, like, you know, you guys have seen the Holocaust in Color or whatever. And
World War II in Color.
World War II and whatever. Sorry.
But yeah, it did show the Holocaust.
And my mother would never let me watch that until I move out of the house, even though I'm very much old enough to deal with it. Like, some parents just don't know the maturity of their kids. Some do, and, you know, some don't.
I also think that whether we see it or not, or even know it ourselves, to a younger child whose brain has not fully developed into understanding all of what even life is going on,
mm-hmm.
war can be a hard concept to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And to educate them at a younger age, possibly slowly developing up into the point where they actually get to the point where they're old enough and mature enough to watch the actual graphic play out, like, for them to understand things as they get older would be helpful in the long run and could possibly prepare them for actual reality.
So keeping things to, like, a comprehension level of the individual person.
Yeah.
And also, back to a little bit, Maggie, so maybe it's not so much that parents just need to outright say you can't read this, but parents need to be having discussions with their children and teens about what they think is appropriate. If a teen wants to read something, they should be open maybe to discussing why and why they think that's okay. Is that kind of where you were going there? Maybe a little bit?
Yeah.
I've kind of experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's uncle, who served in Vietnam, when we were young kids, my cousins that are around me and my brother's age, so we're all teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
When we were younger, we all knew, yeah, he was a medic in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were younger, he had a sticker or on his car that shows you got a Purple Heart.
Mm-hmm.
He told us kind of the basics, not real graphic, a grenade was underneath me and it exploded.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of a crappy Russian grenade, so it didn't blow my legs off. And then he told us that. But as we got older, he kind of went in deeper about some of the, like, on one of his missions, and some Viet Cong strapped explosives to children that ran toward the helicopters because they thought they were going to get candy. And so, yeah, that's one thing that he still haunts him is having to shoot children. In World War II and earlier in a bunch of the wars that America has been in, and there were people that, pretty much the only reason why they didn't get a medal for bravery or being injured was because they weren't a white dude. And there's still men and women, and to this day, that are getting Purple Hearts and Medals of Honor, or 80 years after they died, because we're looking back and realizing, yeah, they didn't get that because of racism, or sexism in some cases, women, and that it would sign up as men in the Civil War to go and fight for their country, and then after they were shot and killed or injured, or after doing something brave, the doctor would look at him and be like, yeah, it's not a dude. Go home and make me a sandwich. And they were not recognized and never happened.
Another thing that happened during World War II and some in World War I is they don't really count or record the women deaths, because while the men were out in the war and in the battle, women were making most of their munitions, and the factory toll was massive, but nobody counted all the countless women that blew up because of the poor factory conditions with gunpowder all over the floor.
I did a portfolio in school about the little-known women that actually helped in the wars and stuff.
Me too.
And one thing I remember from World War II, the 369th Infantry Regiment and from New York, it was an all-black regiment, and they were told, when they signed up, you will be allowed to fight next to everyone else, just like you're a regular person. Now, the month they were put in, and they went out to France, and they didn't get to fight along the U.S. They were told to dig trenches and to do all the menial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it caused many fights. It's between in the 369th and other units because racism. Until America loaned them to France, and France had colonies in mostly Algeria, which is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they're both all races just serving together in the French army, and so they didn't care. They put them on the front line next to everyone else, and they got medals all over the place, and as soon as they got home, they were treated horribly.
Mm-hmm.
No one cared that they got multiple of them got the highest medal that France could give to a soldier at that time. No one cared. They were just told, you did that. Doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You collect yourself with nothing.
And in the victory parade, they were told, we don't want you. They didn't want people to know that they let the lesser people all fight with them. And they weren't allowed in it. So they made one of their own.
Oh, man.
Ugh. Okay, so we kind of got off on a tangent. Not a tangent, it's still, we were about censorship, banned books, and all that. But we really focus on World War II. So obviously there's a lot to talk about this subject that we don't have time to cover in just this podcast. Totally fine. But for those who are interested, I just wanted to give you a quick couple of things you can do, because all this comes back to Banned Book Week next week. And so if you're interested in participating in different things for Banned Book Week, you can read banned books. Find out if your library has a program you can be part of to bring attention to book banning. Participate in events like Banned Book Week. Support foundations that are involved in fighting censorship, such as the National Coalition Against Censorship and the American Booksellers Foundation for Free Expression. Those are all things that you can do or look into if you're interested in Banned Book Week. So we are going to go ahead and get wrapped up for today. Make sure to join us next month. Our podcast lands in Teen Read Week, so we are going to discuss our favorite books we've read as teens. Sounds like a good topic for the Teen Advisory Board. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you guys next month.